Tonight's reading is from Matthew 13, verses 44 to 53. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there.
Dan, thank you very much for reading for us. And please keep that passage open in front of you. We're going to be staying in Matthew 13 this evening. It'll help you to have it there. Also, on the back of the service sheet, there's just an outline for you if that would help you if you want to make some notes. Thank you very much to the band as well for leading us through, and to Kath for leading us. Let's come now to God's word, these wonderful parables. You'll see there just at the end of the last verse that Dan read to us, Jesus had finished these parables. He went away from there. This is the end of this section, the end of the parables, and we're going to be leaving Matthew for a short time as we go into the Psalms over the summer, before returning to Matthew again in the autumn term. So we're pausing at the end of this week, but fear not, we'll get to the rest of it. Let's pray, though, as we come to God's word together. Words that we heard last week. Matthew quoted from the prophet, where it was said this: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." Our Father, we thank you that we have the teaching of Jesus recorded for us, and particularly here in Matthew's Gospel. Thank you for these wonderful parables, which reveal what has been hidden since the foundation of the world, the deep truths of God about the kingdom of heaven. Father, as we come to them this evening, help us, we pray, help us to concentrate, help us to stay awake if we're struggling tonight. Reveal to us what your word says by your Spirit. Help us to understand, and then help us to put into practice what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the great classic British TV shows is Antiques Roadshow. And I know you don't expect me to love Antiques Roadshow, but I do. It's got a great theme tune, for one thing. Go and listen to that. And some of the stories of the items on the show are interesting. But what I really love, and it's the thing that everybody really loves, is the valuation bit. You want to know how much people will pay for that old piece of tat on the table. So you can go, "How much for that old junk?" I was chatting to Benji, who's getting married this coming Saturday. I was chatting to him earlier in the week about a painting that he's bought in a local charity shop, and he was wondering if he'd made his fortune. And I can't wait to see him on the show in a couple of months, talking to Fiona Bruce, and to be honest, seeing his disappointment, as it's worth nothing. There was one of these incidents on the show recently, and there was this guy, and he's just an ordinary, simple bloke. He worked at the dump. And he was allowed, as part of his role, and this is what he said anyway, he was allowed to pull anything out that he thought was valuable and take it home. And this is what he did, and he took home loads of stuff. He had three shedfuls, he said, of this stuff. Then one day he came across a box that someone had thrown out, and inside the box was a top hat, a cigar, and some letters. And you can see this on YouTube if you want to. The letters were from a woman who was a cook, and she was writing to her son. A lot of it was speaking about her day, But often she spoke about her boss, the one whose hat and cigar it was. And her boss's name was Winston Churchill. This box of old junk that had been thrown into the tip contained Winston Churchill's hat and cigar, and it was worth £10,000. What a find! Imagine the man's joy as what others had dismissed as of no value at all was precious, and he had it in his hands. These parables of Jesus in Matthew 13 are all about value. They're about the value of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that many dismiss as of no worth at all, but one that is the most precious thing in all the world. We've been hearing about the kingdom of heaven several times in Matthew's gospel. This is the kingdom that Jesus is bringing on the earth. It's the kingdom in which he establishes his rule in the hearts of men and women. A few weeks ago, at the beginning of chapter 13, the first parables taught us about the secrets of the kingdom, that they are supernaturally revealed by Jesus as his word plants into their hearts. Then last week, we looked again and we had learned about the growth of the kingdom, that it starts small, that it grows in a hidden way as it grows in people's hearts, and that it grows mixed in with the world until the day of judgment. So you've had the kingdom's secrets and the kingdom's growth, and tonight we have the kingdom's value. What's it worth? How valuable is the kingdom of heaven? And more particularly, what's it worth to you? Have you estimated its value correctly? Is it useless old junk to be dismissed and discarded? Or could it be the most precious thing imaginable? Now, Jesus here tells four short parables, these illustrative stories. And the first two mini parables are a pair. They go together, the treasure and the pearl. Then there's the parable of the catch or the net. And then there's actually a bonus parable at the end. I've just tried to capture what each of them teaches there on the handout. So first of all, verses 44 to 46, gaining the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. Stories of buried treasure have got long-standing appeal, haven't they? Whether you're a pirate sailing the seven seas with your map to find the place where X marks the spot, or whether you're a prospector, you're heading across the prairies because you've heard that there's gold in them there hills, or if you're a nerd in an anorak going out with your metal detector on a Saturday morning to scour the beach for what the tide has washed in, we love the idea of discovering buried treasure. We love stories about buried treasure. And Jesus is a master storyteller. Listen to the story he tells. It's just one verse, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So here we have a man who's one day, he's walking along in this field and he stumbles upon buried treasure. And there's no such thing as banks back then. So what people did is they hid their valuables and their money and their jewelry if they were going away for a while, or say if a war was coming, they would hide it in the ground to protect it from raiders. But sometimes people died before digging it up. Sometimes they went away and just never came back. And sometimes, I assume, they just forgot where they'd put it. Maybe this guy's just walking along one day and he kicks his toe into something and he looks down and it seems to be the edge of a box and he thinks, "Oh, that's strange." He gets on his hands and his knees and he scrabbles around the edges with his fingers and he works a bit of space, but it won't budge. So he grabs a sharp stone, digs down further, and then he hauls it up out of the ground. He opens it up and his eyes gleam. He widens as he sees the gold and the silver and the jewels sparkling in front of him. Can you imagine just how thrilling that would be to have such a find? Now, as modern people living in the UK, we might have questions about what the man does next. We've got treasure laws, which means you can't just take what you find. You have to report it and all of that stuff. But the law was different back then. What the man does here is perfectly reasonable. The law essentially said, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. It said that in order for it to belong to you, all you had to do was just lift it up. Just dig it up and lift it in the air, and it was yours. It belonged to you. It legally became your possession. However, it could be challenged in court by the landowner. So the man wants to make sure that it's really his, 100% with no doubt. And so he covers it up again, goes away, and in his joy, we're told, he sells all that he has and buys the field. Now, the fact that one uncultivated field costs all that he has implies, I think, that he's a relatively poor man. So once he sees the value of this treasure, it becomes a no-brainer. Give everything you've got to go and get it and do it straight away. That's parable number one. The second parable is very similar, and it's a partner, as I said, to the first. This is verse 45 to 46. Again, Jesus is linking the two. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So it's a partner to the first, but the details are slightly different. Here the man is clearly a wealthy man. He's a pearl merchant. In those days, pearls were highly regarded. They're especially valuable items. They're often ranked alongside gold. This guy is used to trading in precious items. He's a man of wealth and expertise. And whereas the first man just stumbled upon his treasure, well, this man is looking for it, isn't he? He knows what he wants and is searching. And what he wants is not merely wealth. It's also beauty. He's looking for fine pearls. He's on a systematic quest to find pearls of great beauty and worth. And his search is more successful than he ever could have dreamed. He finds a pearl of such great quality, of such great beauty and value, that like the other man, he immediately goes and sells all that he has and buys it. His delight is so great, he's convinced that possessing this one beautiful pearl is worth all the other pearls in his collection and everything else he has besides. His delight is not in the profit that it will make, though. No, it's simply in possessing such a thing. These are two wonderful little stories that Jesus tells. Jesus says this is just like the kingdom of heaven. How? Well, the point, I think, is really simple. Gaining the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. It's worth everything. Some people, like the first man in the first parable, they're not looking for the kingdom at all. They stumble upon it. And for some of you, that's your story. You look back and you recognize that Jesus' grace just invaded your life unexpectedly. You weren't looking for him, but he simply revealed himself to you. And some people, like the second man in the second parable, they know that there's something out there of great value. They long to find it. They're searching for it until they find what they're looking for when they encounter Jesus Christ in his words. But no matter how you discover the kingdom of heaven, whether you stumbled upon it or whether you searched for it, what happens when you find it is you realize that you hold in your hands something that is more precious than everything else in your life. For both of these men, rich and poor, the price is the same, isn't it? It's worth everything that they have. They have found that in Jesus and in the kingdom that he offers them, that he brings them into, they have something of such lasting value that they don't delay. They sell everything to gain the one thing. So do you realize how precious Jesus is? Do you realize what he is offering you in his kingdom? Through his death on the cross in your place and his resurrection from the dead, he is offering you forgiveness of sins. He's offering you a reconciled relationship with God the Father. He's offering you the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life to change you. And he's offering you eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, which when it comes in its fullness will be a place with no more sickness, no more sin, no more suffering, no more death. What Jesus offers, a place in the kingdom of heaven, is something worth more than everything else. There's no cost too great to pay in exchange for gaining the kingdom of heaven. So why are you hesitating? Why are you holding back from giving Jesus everything in your life? Don't delay. Don't miss the opportunity. These men in these parables, they give everything they have. They give their whole lives over, and they gain a whole lot more, but they do so decisively, immediately. They don't wait because they don't want to miss out. What will your decision be? Don't turn down the greatest and most precious thing that you'll ever be offered, a place in the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. Gaining the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. Now let's come to the third parable. Gaining the kingdom of heaven will save your life in the end. This is verse 47 to 50. This third parable is a little bit different. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. I don't know how clued up on fish you are. I'm not particularly. I know there are a few keen fishermen here in Chalmers. I've always sort of thought it would be a little bit dull, if I'm honest. But I'm coming around to the idea because I've been watching a TV show called Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing, which is on BBC iPlayer. I know my TV watching habits are so exciting, aren't they? If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. Yeah, give it a go. It's about fishing, which you wouldn't naturally necessarily want to watch, but it's actually about friendship. It's about male friendship at that, which there isn't much of that's positive. It's got these two friends, these two comedians, Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse, very, very funny men, and they take each other fishing and they chat together as they do so, and it's very funny, but it also has these really poignant moments as they discuss sort of real things that are going on in their lives. But it is also about fishing. They catch these different fish, and they're always very excited to do so. But they're also really knowledgeable as well. They know exactly what they're getting. They know what they've caught, and they know what to do with it. And they tell you a bit about it as you go through. So I'm learning. But to be honest, I wouldn't know a cod from a carp if you slapped me in the face with it. Now, several of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. So of course they knew what Jesus was talking about here. Actually, most of the people he's speaking to, they lived in fishing communities around the Sea of Galilee. And like Bob and Paul, they would have known the difference. They knew the scene that Jesus is describing. When you haul in the catch from your boat, you pick up the whole range of the sea. There are some fish that are valuable and some that aren't. And you would go through at the end of the day and you would sort them out. You'd sort the ones out from that were fit for the table and keep those. But there were others that you had no use for, and you simply threw them away. I mean, what else are you supposed to do with them? So that's the parable. It's a sorting parable. When the catch is brought in at the end of the day, you sort out the good from the bad. You keep some, and you get rid of others. Now we get Jesus' explanation in verse 49. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you were here last week, you'll notice that this is a very similar explanation to the parable of the weeds. It's not an explanation that we like, is it? This message of judgment at the end of history, it's one that we'd rather not mention. We'd very much rather just go back to the positive parables that we've just heard. But Jesus says this. Jesus does. It carries just as much weight as everything else that he says. So we may not like it, but we need to listen to it. Let's just notice three different things about this parable. Number one, everyone is included. The net is gathered in and the fish are there. All the fish are there, good and the bad. Just so on the day of judgment. The righteous and the evil, all humanity is gathered together to stand before God in judgment. Everyone is included. That's point one. Second thing to notice, on the day of judgment, there will be a great separation. The righteous, which Matthew has previously described in this gospel as not those who are righteous in themselves, but those who recognize their sin and in faith cry out to Jesus for mercy. That's the righteous. It's those who have been declared righteous by faith because they have been given as a free gift the perfect righteousness of Christ. These people are separated out from this other group and they are kept, they are saved for the kingdom of heaven. The evil, on the other hand, which again, Matthew teaches here, is not merely those who are especially bad, but every human being who has not trusted in Jesus. They are all thrown in a furnace of hell. This fiery furnace of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a terrible place. Now, we don't like that idea. But Jesus says this, and it's not the first time he said it, it's the second time in this chapter that he said this so clearly, that on the day of judgment there will be a day of separation, a great separation between those who trust Jesus and those who don't. But the focus in this parable is hell. Why does he tell us about this? Why does Jesus tell us about this eternal separation in hell? Well, that actually brings us to the third thing to notice. The first thing was that everyone's included in the judgment. The second thing was that on the day of judgment, there'll be this great separation between those who trust Christ and those who don't. And the third thing to notice is that we're told this in advance. We're told this in advance so that we might avoid the fate being described here. The day of judgment is coming, but it's not here yet. And so this is a loving warning. It's like a doctor telling you that you have terminal cancer. He does that not to be mean or cruel, but so that you might get the cure, so that you might be saved from it before it's too late. Jesus tells us this in good time so that we might do all that we can to avoid this terrible destiny that awaits those who haven't trusted in him. But how? How do we escape this destiny? How do we avoid hell? Well, Jesus has just told us. He tells us what to do. He tells us what to do in the other two parables that we've just heard. We must gain the great treasure. We must give all that we have to possess the pearl of great price. That is, we must come to him in faith and say, Jesus, I have sinned against you. Have mercy on me. Save me. Make me righteous in your sight and in the sight of your Father in heaven. Jesus, I give you everything that I have. My whole life is in your hands. I want you as my king so that I might live in your kingdom. Do that, and that's what he will do for you by his grace. So we see the parables all go together. There is the warning alongside the invitation. And they say this, keep everything in your life now. Keep hold of it all. Keep control. Reject the authority of Jesus as your king. And you'll lose everything for eternity in judgment and hell. But there's a way out. And that is to lose everything now. Give control of your life into his hands, the whole of your life. Accept him as your king. And you will gain everything for eternity. At the end of the day, he will welcome you into his kingdom. Gaining the kingdom of heaven now will save your life in the end. One more parable to go. This bonus parable in verses 51 to 53. Gaining the kingdom of heaven will make you want to share its treasure. I say this is a bonus parable because I don't think it fits just with the three that we've just heard. I think it sums up the whole of this chapter. They close off this third big block of teaching in Matthew 13. And Jesus here just checks that his disciples are following what he's saying. He wants to see if they've understood. And it turns out that they are. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And they do. They understand. I wonder, would you answer the same way? Do you understand what Jesus has been saying? If you're not yet a Christian, maybe you've stumbled upon Jesus or you've been looking for Jesus for a long time, but now you say, yeah, I understand, I get it. And I encourage you to take that step of placing your faith in him and gaining access to his kingdom, even tonight. But Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who have already taken their place in his kingdom. And so he closes his teaching, these parables, by instructing them about what they've learned and what they are to do with it. So verse 52. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. What does he mean here? Well, the scribes of Jesus' day, they were those who were authorized to write down and then teach the Old Testament law. That was their job. They were highly trained. They were to work hard to understand what God's word says. But it wasn't merely for themselves to just educate themselves. It was for a purpose. It was to teach others, to share that knowledge with others. It was for the sake of the people. They were Israel's teachers. But the big problem in Jesus' day, and we've seen this throughout Matthew's gospel, is that the scribes in general had just missed the point entirely, because they'd missed that the Old Testament should have pointed them to Jesus. Jesus here is speaking about his disciples, and he's saying that by understanding his teaching, they've been trained as a new kind of scribe, as one who is able to share with the people the newly discovered treasures of the kingdom that he's been revealing to them. What they now know of Jesus and his kingdom, what they know of its secrets and its growth and its value, it's not to be kept to themselves, but shared with others, that others too might gain its treasure. These treasures are the things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world, that's verse 35, but are now revealed through these marvelous teachings of Jesus Christ. That may well be that Matthew here is actually talking about himself, that he, for our sake, who's written down these wonderful treasures in his gospel for our sake. He was there, he was literally there when Jesus said these things. And it must have been like fireworks just going off in his brain as he suddenly saw the astonishing fulfillment of all the Old Testament law in what Jesus is saying. What was old and what is new came to life before his eyes, and he has brought them out for us. But it's not just Matthew, I think. I think it is him, but actually it's not just him. And it's not just the 12. What does he say? Every scribe who has been trained. That is, every person who has understood the kingdom of heaven as they've listened to Jesus is now trained. They are equipped to share the treasures, old and new, with others. So for us who have trusted in Christ, this is the last part of this parable. This is the note that Jesus leaves us with. Don't keep what you have learned to yourself. The surpassing value of the kingdom of heaven is not to be kept secret by us. It is treasure that is to be shared with all that we meet so that others might gain the kingdom also. We're going to have some time together this evening just chatting over tea and coffee. Maybe we could just put this into practice straight away. We can share what we've learned. We can encourage one another with the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And then maybe we can do that over the course of this week, wherever we are. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the teaching of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these wonderful parables, so vivid in colour, but which teach us such amazing things. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed to us the value of the kingdom of heaven, something which we have missed and discarded often. Yet you have brought us into your kingdom, one in which we will dwell for eternity through your Son, Jesus. And so we praise you for all that you've revealed to us, the great treasure that we have in Christ. But Lord, just those notes at the end of this chapter remind us that what we have is not for us to hold on to and keep quiet about, but to share. Lord, we feel the challenge of that with our families, with our neighbours, with our friends and our colleagues. Lord, would you help us as we go out this week to share with people what we've seen of and heard of the kingdom of heaven from the Lord Jesus in this part of his word. Help us, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.